really is kind of the nerve center where they make all the critical decisions on what to do about containing the spill, you know, how to disperse the oil, how to collect it, how to burn it, and basically, you know, every major decision that BP makes every day comes out of the center, and it is like a massive air traffic control center of this operation with a lot of high-tech wizardry at work, a lot of monitors. I mean, you go into some of these rooms and it looks like a, you know, looks like a command center for a nuclear launch area. So wow. It's really very impressive.
So give us a sense as to what you saw in there. I think one of the frustrations that a lot of people have, A, that it's not stopped, but B, that we seem not to even know how much oil is coming out. And as you say, this is a pretty high-tech room.
Well, it is, and you know, it's fascinating to go through it because we first went to the briefing room where they coordinate all the communications and the different shifts that people are working. You know, people are working 12 to 13 hour shifts. We went to the subsea containment room where they're figuring out how to deploy the dispersants and the top surface burning units. Then we went to this very kind of impressive room called the ROV command center, where this is this darkened room with real-time monitors of the subsea floor all over it, where engineers are sitting there very, very focused and commanding pilots on the vessels on what to do with the ROVs. The pilots are controlling the ROVs, and the ROVs are making all the critical moves as far as, you know, putting the top kill in when they did that, putting the containment domes on there. And this is really the nerve center where all the successes and failures play out. They're very, very focused in there. Even when we went into the room, we were told we couldn't really talk to the engineers because they couldn't basically look up from what they were doing to talk to us. We had to be very quiet. So it was a very intense atmosphere, a lot of very focused people. As to why a lot of this stuff hasn't worked, look, you know, what they'll always tell you is we just have not tried any of these maneuvers at this depth, 5,000 feet below the surface, a mile down. It's just where, you know, clearly humans can't go. ROVs have had trouble. There's no natural light down there. The pressure is intense. It's just a very, very difficult condition to work in, and you really get that sense when you're in there.
Do you come out of that, after seeing all that, do you come out with a different impression than when you went in? And you've been covering this very closely, of course, but did it change your thinking about it?
It did. I mean, it was very impressive seeing all the people who have such a breadth of knowledge on the engineering and on the technical aspects of it all huddled together in several different rooms, coordinating everything, speaking in very scientific and technical terms that I couldn't understand as to how to do it. And they took us through some of it, but still, it is just way above your head. What you're impressed with is the technical and scientific knowledge that these people have, the dedication that they have, the commitment to trying to do something. I know that BP has been scorched in this whole story, and frankly, rightfully so. But, you know, you do get the impression that these people are earnestly trying to stop this thing and trying to contain it and are just as frustrated as the rest of us.
Now, you're down there in the Gulf, and there seems to be this dichotomy of idea. I mean, they're saying no drilling, and yet people are going, hey, this is an important part of our economy just the way fishing is. That's having almost as much impact on us as the oil. What is sort of the mood down there right now?
The mood is very gloomy because they don't know when this is going to stop. Right now, I'm in Mississippi. I'm covering a group of fishermen and fish wholesalers at this dock in Past Christian, Mississippi, and they're devastated. They've lost so much of their business. A lot of them are on the verge of shutting down. They don't know how long this is going to go on. The fishermen have to basically get jobs with BP, and that's not consistent work, to be hired to go out and look for, inspect booms and look for oil. That's not consistent work. It is just devastating down here, and the uncertainty is the worst part of it. These people do not know when this is going to end.
And more, I mean, everyone's angry at BP, and as you said, they've made a mistake, and rightfully so. They also seem very angry at government. The government hasn't stepped in and somehow helped to fix this problem.
Yeah, there is some of that. I mean, the anger at the government is secondary to the anger at BP. The government is just seen as kind of slow and plodding and just very overall slow to react to this story, which it has been criticized for in the past during Katrina and during a lot of disasters of this sort. I think you get the sense people do blame the government, and they do believe that the politicians have not acted fast enough and that a lot of the righteous indignation has come a little too late. But you also get a sense that they understand that government just cannot really move very fast, and that really it's BP is the one that did this. BP has the technical and the other and the money, frankly, to move fast to try to rectify it. And they're the ones really who aren't just are not moving fast enough.